Did I tell you this, that I got such an overwhelming feeling of fall? And I think it happened like after the last time we recorded, but I was like sitting in my bed and I was just thinking about like soon I'm gonna have like my cozy Halloween tea. Yeah. And I'm gonna be like sitting here reading with like a nice candle, and it's gonna be great. Hello everyone, and welcome to Two White Girls Talk Bollywood. I'm Kim.
And I'm Katie, and we're here to talk about singing and dancing and writing.
Uh-huh.
And Bollywood boys.
Angry young Bollywood men.
Yeah. Literally the creators of that trope.
The original angry young men.
Yes. Salim Javed.
Salim Javed, yes. And that is the name of the documentary, Angry Young Men.
Yes.
Katie, initial thoughts?
Initial thoughts. I liked it.
Yes. Good.
I enjoyed it. I found it entertaining. Like, I don't think it dragged. It didn't feel too, like, staged. You know what I mean? Like, it didn't feel too, like, oh, let's only focus on, like, the good stuff. I mean,
sure.
They avoided certain things that they didn't want to talk about. And I'm like, you're in your 70s. You've earned the right to kind of not talk about stuff. That's fine. But yeah, no, I really liked it. And I liked, like, seeing how that trope came to be. So what were your thoughts?
I also liked it. You know, I found myself the first couple of episodes, I was like writing everything down the way I do for a plot recap. I was like pausing and going back to like make sure I was getting exact quotes and all this stuff. But I do feel like I was a little unsatisfied. And as I was going back through my notes, I kind of realized why. I kind of feel like I was expecting there to be more feeling.
Yeah, it was almost like the Roshans documentary was, where it was a little more like, let's just talk about like their accomplishments, which
it was a little like superficial. It was a little like, let's just skim the surface of all of these things. And I also felt like the things that were the most interesting to me were like hearing their like contemporary, like the directors and other actors who they were working with, or other people who were in the industry at the same time as they were, like telling things from their perspective. And also like all these little moments where they had like cinema buffs like sharing their perspective on movies and their impacts and stuff. And I was like, that's what's really interesting to me. And that was kind of what we got the least of. It was a lot of like family reflections, which is interesting, but also like I don't super care.
It's like I care about it as it relates to your writing at that time. I mean, I was really touched by Javed talking about being like homeless and hungry.
All of that, like the first episode, I was so into it. And then I felt like I kind of dropped off for me with each episode after the first one, because they were sort of like putting these things out there that they didn't then dive into. But yeah, when they did get into like the emotional meat, and both Salim and Javed had moments where they were like close to tears as they're talking about these moments from their past. And I'm like, ooh, that's interesting. And not like people need to cry for me to be interested, but like,
no, it's just
the realness.
Interesting. And it's what contributed to them being the success that they were. And honestly, I always find it so interesting when you have people who succeed against all these odds and, you know, like fighting for what they're doing, and they are experiencing really hard things on their road to being successful. And then it would honestly be, it would have been nice to hear from the children about that, you know, because it's like Farhan and Zoya were born into success, and Salman Khan was also, I mean, he still, it seemed like his dad was still getting success as he was born, but like he grew up, you know, with like a roof over his head and like a certain amount of privilege. And so I always find that really interesting. And it would have been interesting, I feel like, to hear from them about that aspect of it. Like, what have you learned from your dad's going through a struggle that you yourself have never had to have? And to go from they were Bollywood outsiders, now you are Bollywood insiders. Like,
I did want to hear more of that from their perspective, because with the other children of people who documentaries are being made about, yes. in the other documentaries, we, you know, with Hrithik and with Adi Chopra, it's like, mm-hmm. not only were you an insider, but, like, your parents were insiders.
Yeah.
Like, there was not that same struggle. And I talk about that when we get into it. But yeah, I would have been really interested to hear. It's like, you guys are first generation Bollywood, right. Bollywood yeah. insiders. Like, that is an interesting perspective. And I wouldn't have minded hearing more about that. I do think it's definitely worth noting that the movie was produced by Salman Khan Films,
yeah.
by Excel Entertainment, which is Farhan Akhtar's production company, and Tiger Baby, which is Zoya Akhtar's production company. So mm-hmm. just, like, the perspective is always important with a documentary, with any storytelling, yeah. but especially with a documentary. And so, you know, I think that, I don't think it necessarily colored things, because I do think people were open and honest about certain things, but there were also some things that maybe could have been pushed a little bit more if it was by someone right. who was doing this with less of a flowery outlook towards yes. towards everyone.
Yeah, and I guess that goes back to your other point too, of like the outside perspectives would have been, it would have been nice to have more of that, because they were talking about how Salim and Javed, like, weren't really well-liked.
Exactly, yes.
Like, and they kind of, yes, they talked about it, but not really. They kind of glossed over it. And I would have loved to hear more about that. Like,
me too.
Especially, I mean, there's something so intriguing about this duo who are cocky and no one likes them because they're cocky, but they're good at what they do. So
they get results.
Exactly. So you kind of have to accept them even though you don't want to. Like, that is a very cool mix yeah. of things.
I agree. Before we talk too much in our opening about the stuff we're going to talk yes. about throughout the meat of the film, I also just wanted to mention the director, Namrata Rao. And I do think overall it's a fairly well-directed documentary. There was one weird moment where we suddenly, like, had a narrator, and I didn't know yeah. what that was all about. And then also kind of the way that certain questions that the interviewer mm-hmm. was asking were put in, it didn't feel super natural. I always yeah. think, like, directors need to be strategic about where they include that, and it felt a little too much, in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah.
But otherwise,
I agree with that.
I loved the intro, that the
yes, that was that fun.
It was mm-hmm. was very fun. Okay, is there anything else we should say before we dive in?
No, I'm ready.
Oh, lots of Sholay references, which I was happy to
So many Sholay references. Yes, I can't even imagine had we tried to watch this first and then watch Sholay. Like,
uh-huh.
I would have been bummed because I got it. I was like,
yeah.
I understand now because we watched that first.
Yes, absolutely. And right out the gate, there's a reference to the famous line where Gabbar Singh is asking one of his guys how many men there were, and the man says there were two. And it's just mm-hmm. like, yeah, there were these two men.
Mm-hmm.
Just like there were two men in Sholay. So that's my heavy-handed interpretation.
Yes. I mean, it was heavy-handed, and it was great.
But it was great in all the right ways. So the first episode, I believe the English translation, because they talk about this line, I think it's from Diwar, but they talk about this line from one of the Angry Young Man movies of I don't pick up money that's thrown at me, and I think that's what the title is in English.
Mm-hmm.
And the very first thing I wrote down was, okay, Amir Khan's mustache. So that's the kind of hard-hitting
oh my God, right?
journalism I'm bringing to the table.
Yes. I mean, it needed to be talked about. He looks great.
He did look so good. I was just like, this is just hitting all the right notes, sir.
He, like, genuinely, his face has, like, he's changed. Like, you look at young Amir Khan, and then you look at, like, current Amir Khan, and you're like, uh-huh. both of these are great. But I sometimes have a hard time reconciling the two. Like, I can find young Amir Khan in his face, but that mustache really threw me in a great way.
Yeah, it's a very good look. I know that this was filmed probably 2 years ago now, so he probably doesn't have that mustache anymore, but it's
yeah. Apparently they were filming like during the pandemic.
Well, that makes sense because they were wearing masks a lot.
So. Yeah, so maybe in like, yeah, 2021-ish.
Still, fun stuff.
Still. He could do that again.
So we start off with the usual kind of general observations. Hrithik says any kid who grew up in this era has a little Salim Javed in their blood.
Mm.
Jaya Bachchan, Farhan Akhtar, and others all talk about them being gutsy and braggadocious, and Karan Johar says that after they became established, they would always demand to be paid 1 lakh more than Amitabh, which he says would be like a writer today demanding 1 crore more than Salman Khan.
Yeah, which is wild. Can I just say, I actually loved Karan Johar's inputs.
Yes, I did too. I wrote down a bunch of his quotes.
Yeah, they didn't rely on him too heavily. Like, I think sometimes I'm just like, okay, buddy, we don't need you right now in some other documentaries. But here, everything he said, I was like, wow, you're really good at putting this in the context of, like, the greater film industry. So
yeah. I felt like he was being interviewed as an expert in the industry as opposed to, like, a friend of the family or a, like, participant in the actual films that are being talked about. So I felt like I was really enjoying that level of participation from him.
Mm-hmm.
But then this gets us into the actual story, and in particular the focus on these two men as outsiders struggling to make their way into the film industry. Salim talks about how his first writing experience was writing love letters for his friends, on behalf of his friends.
Which just reminded me of Guns and Gulabs.
Exactly, yes. Correct.
I love it. Yeah. I was like, oh my god, that's real. Like, people did that.
I wonder if he, I mean, he probably wasn't listening to cassette tapes while he did it because this was like the 50s, but but maybe he was listening to records. He then made a point of networking with some producers when they were in his hometown of Indore for a wedding, and they invited him to Mumbai to screen test for a movie. He gave up what he describes as a comfortable life to rough it in the big city and says he never asked his parents for money, even though they would have given it willingly.
Mm-hmm.
Javed similarly struggled when he came to Mumbai as a teen, sleeping on benches and on friends' couches while he tried to make it as an assistant director. He says he thought he'd become a director in no time, and as he struggled, told himself that one day he'd write about this in his autobiography.
Mm-hmm. It's so interesting, too, because it's like they showed up with the same, like, mindset and energy as so many other people, and yet they're the ones that made it, you know?
They made it, and I do feel like there is this, like, element of, like, pure talent kind of thing that gets them through, and then there's also this element of, like, and there's not always enough room for everybody else because there's all this nepotism.
Right, right. It's like, there's no doubt that they became successful because of their talent, but there's also no doubt that there are also other talented people who never become successful.
Yep.
Despite trying and, you know...
And Javed has a really interesting kind of thought about that that he says at the end. But that, like, leads us into a whole other section of the documentary that I really want to sink our teeth into when it comes up. But so Salim was launched in a movie called Bachpan, which was a total flop. His second wife, Helen Khan, says everything was overdone in those days in terms of acting. And she says he just wasn't made for the times that he was trying to act in, which is a very generous read, I feel, from Helen. Salim also met his first wife, Salma, during this time and had Salman in 1964. So he says he needed money and he would accept any job, but he soon realized that he wasn't going to make it to the top as an actor.
Yeah.
We then get a really touching emotional moment that you alluded to before, where Javed is talking about realizing that he had torn his last pair of pants. He says, anyone who has been deprived of sleep or food will understand waking up in a nice hotel room and being served breakfast on a tray and feeling like he doesn't deserve it. And he starts to choke up as he says that he doesn't think he'll ever get over the feeling that it's someone else's.
Yeah.
It's just, it's such a stark contrast to the other documentaries that we've watched where there's struggle, but the struggle is in the face of like, oh, my movies weren't successful and I needed to figure out how do I, like, you know, that kind of struggle, career struggle. This is like, they were literally like starving artists trying to figure out how to make it in this super competitive industry.
Right. And you don't really forget that no matter how successful you become.
No, definitely not. Luckily, this comes to an end. The two of them met on the set of a film called Sarhadi Lutera in 1966. Salim was the lead, and Javed was, I think, the assistant director? I didn't write it down, but I'm just assuming, because that's what he was trying to do. The director wasn't happy with the dialogue, so Javed started rewriting it, and everyone started saying that he should become a writer. Both Salim and Javed lived in Bandra at this time, and they started getting together, discussing storylines. And then the producer of this film offered them 5,000 rupees to ghostwrite a script for him. Shortly after taking that job, they learned that Sippy Films was looking to hire staff writers, and it paid good, steady money, so this brings them to their first writing credit, Andaz.
Yes.
And the only thing I wrote down about this movie was that the song that they play from it is the song that the guy sings in Chopsticks when the gangster is making him sing to him while he's on the toilet.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man, I didn't even realize that.
It was like this moment where I was like, I recognize the song, but I know I've never seen this movie. It must be referenced in something else. And then I was like, Chopsticks. And I was
yes. Like,
Salim says they never consciously decided to become partners. They just split the money and kept working together, knowing that it would speed up the work. But, you know, as they talk about things over the course of the documentary, it becomes clear that it was less of the, like, industrial nature that he describes. Like, they did actually have very complementary skills. He talks about his ability to narrate a character in ways that he couldn't, like, bring it to life as an actor. And Javed writes the dialogue, so they did actually, like, have a really reasonable way to split up the work that played to both of their strengths.
Mm-hmm.
Javed also met his first wife, Honey Irani, during this time on the set of Sita or Gita. She says she pulled a lucky card for him during a game of rummy, and he proposed to her on the spot. She says she should have told him gambling never pays. And this is the first in a runner of amazing jabs that Honey Irani takes on her ex-husband.
Yeah, she burns him a couple times. She's like,
I laughed every time. And later she also says that Javed based Gabbar Singh on himself, or like that she could see a lot of Javed in Gabbar Singh. So like she was every opportunity she had to like take take a dig, she took it, and I appreciate that. And then later it she says good. They're best friends, like great, that's great. Yeah, but this was very funny.
It always felt like good-natured razzing, you know.
Yes, absolutely. So Rima Kagti says that the quintessential masala movie can be traced back to Salim Javed. She says their films defined her childhood and starts listing titles, but then Zoya Akhtar jumps in to correct her pronunciation of one of the titles, and I just really enjoyed that moment.
Yeah, Zanjeer.
Yes. But then she brings up that there was a lot of discontent during this era, among the lower and middle classes specifically, and their movies spoke to that discontent. And this is where we get into the whole angry young man of it all. Karan Johar describes the 30s and 40s as the golden age of Hindi cinema, and then he says post-independence India took a holiday in the 60s. And he says that these films were characterized by simplistic plots full of music, and then they show like three back-to-back clips from what could have been the same movie and the same song, except it's not. So clearly, a lot of formulaic stuff happening in this era.
Yes.
He says Salim Javed created the era of the 70s, starting in 1973 with Zanjeer. He says they were outsiders who came in with the attitudes of the time. They were angry, anti-establishment, and created a hero in their image. So this moment, this quote, this is one of the things that I wanted more of. Tell me about that anger. Tell me about their outsiders coming in with that anger. But I'm also just realizing, I'm saying this now, but this isn't actually the moment that I was going to say all of this.
Well, that's fine, but it is applicable to the rest of the documentary, too.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it's a good point, because I feel like they do get asked, like, well, where did this come from? And both of them are kind of like, I don't know.
Yeah. Javed literally says that they were innocent to all of it. And, like,
yeah,
I just have trouble believing that these two very smart men weren't bringing actual anger that they were feeling, whether it was from their past or whether it was from how they were reacting to the political moment they were living through. I just have trouble believing that that wasn't actually in there for them.
I do wonder if there's an element of, like, they were outsiders, so they were allowed to be angry, but now they're insiders, and so to really voice how they were feeling might be seen as, like, biting the hand that feeds you. Like, I don't know. I don't know if that's a part of it.
That's also what I wonder, and that's one of the ways where I feel like having the families produce these documentaries, it doesn't necessarily create these environments where you can get that full truth. Because even right. if Salim and Javed weren't the ones saying, oh yeah, we were angry and we were pissed about this, that, and the other, and we wanted to, like, write these things to challenge it, like, some of their contemporaries might have said things like that, but then they make the choice to leave it out because of it feeling, like, potentially damaging. Is this actually authentic reporting if that kind of right. stuff is getting left out? When it's exactly. hard for me to imagine that it's not true.
Yeah, I think that's a solid criticism. Yeah.
But what I actually had written down as my tangent in this moment, that just saves us a tangent later, was that Karan Johar talking about, like, this era of the 30s and 40s into then, like, the sort of late 50s mm-hmm. and into the 60s, it made me hopeful for this era that we're in right now.
Yeah.
Because yeah. it's like, yeah, there have been slumps before, and we've heard about other slumps in other, you know, documentaries that we've watched. And, like, we just need to give someone the chance to break the mold. And ideally, mm-hmm. in a way that can be duplicated, not the way Rajmouli broke the mold to make Bahubali that then can't really be redone because it costs so much friggin' money.
Exactly.
That you can't really do it well time and time again.
Yeah, it should be rooted in the storytelling, not the trappings.
Not the that was exactly the word I was, like, hearing in my head as you were saying yeah. it. That was excellent. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so director Shyam Benegal says that this was an era when people needed a hero who got things done. Salim Javed brought to life a hero who didn't sing, dance, do romance, or comedy, and this is the angry young man.
Mm-hmm.
Javed says they created an honest character and didn't push him according to the needs of the plot, and that if they had had Amitabh sing in Zanjeer, then no one would remember the angry young man today.
Maybe.
Who can say?
Who can say? I'm like, I'm not sure that's completely true, but maybe, maybe.
Maybe, maybe. I feel like the way I hear that is, like, it needed to be something so drastically different.
Yeah.
Like, and that's, I feel like it needed to start with something like Zanjeer that was really different, as opposed to, like, if they'd started with Sholay, it's more of this sort of, like, gradual yeah. shift, as opposed to this, like, punch of something different.
I think you're right. It's like they needed to swing from one end to the other pretty drastically. Yeah. And I feel like, yeah, probably the lack of songs was like a whoa that yeah. would hit the audience hard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But we also learned that many actors refused the part that Amitabh played in this first movie. But Amitabh had been in several back-to-back flops, and Salim Javed approached him after seeing him in an irreverent fight scene in the film Bombay to Goa. Mm-hmm. Amitabh says he was just happy to have someone come narrate something to him. And I'm like, yeah, it worked out great for you, sir. Like, you...
It really did, yeah. Well, and I love that, like, that fight, they loved it so much because he was chewing gum the whole yeah. time.
I know, the type of skill that it takes to pull that off, I can see why they would watch that and be like, this guy's gonna fit well in what we want to do with our movie.
Yes. I know, he really lucked out. Well, they were talking about how, like, no one wanted to work with him, which... I did think about, like, why? What are the stories there? And then I did not end up looking into that. But was there more there? I don't know.
Yeah. I think I totally just saw it as, like, oh, well, he had just not been in good
been
movies.
Been in flops.
And so they yeah, were like, which... this guy's maybe on the out. But, boy, were yeah. they wrong. He just hadn't found his niche because his niche didn't exist yet.
Exactly. And, like, everything I know about Amitabh is that he's a very sweet man. So that's probably it.
But so when the film was released, Salim Javed hired a painter to add their names to the film poster because they were
love
like,
it.
We deserve the credit for this too. And Javed says this was Salim's idea, like all their other acts of bravery.
Mm-hmm. And I love that they said that, like, the guy was drunk or something.
Oh, yeah.
Just
so he
slathering their
like...
names over the faces of the actors.
Yeah. yeah. Instead of, like, down where, like, you know, out of the way, it's like, no, yeah. right over Amitabh's face. Javed also says they had anger and hurt within themselves, and Salim says it's a strong and potent emotion. And again, here's me thinking, like, I wanted to, like, launch right into the second episode after this, because I was like, ooh, I can't wait to hear about the anger, the hurt, and the potentness of it all. But it, yeah, no, just kind of falls flat. So this brings us to episode two, I Have Mom. Which is a really silly thing to just, like, for me to say, like, in English here out of context. But it is, yeah. again, another reference to a powerful, famous line from their films.
Mm-hmm.
And this opens with some family stuff. Salim says the only real reason to make a film is because you have an idea on which you'd bet your last shirt.
I love that.
Yes.
Because I think that that's exactly what's wrong with a lot of the cinema that's coming out today yes. in Bollywood.
Yes,
absolutely. Is that, like, people are just like, well, we have to make a movie. This is good enough. Yep. But it's like, they actually literally know what it is to be like, we are down to our last, like, pair of trousers.
Yep.
This needs to work, and I do believe in this idea. And, like, if you don't believe in it, then what are we doing? Like,
yes.
It's yes. so good. That's such a good point.
You just said everything that I had written down as bullet points in response to that quote. So perfectly summarized, Katie.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, this is what gives us these formulaic movies that are just in it to make money, is like not having the need to bring characters to life. And sure,
yeah.
that doesn't always lead to success, but it's those risks that like mm-hmm. can actually like make things explode the way that these two yeah. did.
Well, and that's the thing, it's like the audience can tell when there's heart in something.
Yes. And I think that's probably a big part of where their success initially came from, and as we see, it's when other things start to get in the way of that heart
yeah.
that things start to, that you know, that they decide to, they actually, I feel like they choose to end things on a high, cuz they're like
yeah.
we can see the writing on the wall.
Right.
We're done.
Because they just started to believe they were better than, like, the craft, almost.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yes. To just keep drawing lines through things, it's also making me think of Superboys and...
Mm, yeah.
I'm now forgetting what the guy's name is from that
oh,
movie.
Oh, I
from
don't
that
remember.
World, but, like, his whole thing of, like, he lets himself get bigger than the vision that...
Right.
...created what they had in the first place. Anyway, we're now in 1975. Salim Javed wrote Sholay and Diwar in the same year. Our girl Anupama Chopra, who's here because of course she is, quotes Javed once telling her, "You should never do too much good work in one year, because they won everything for Diwar and nothing for Sholay."
I mean, that's so true. They should have just held on to Sholay
yeah.
and a year later. Yeah.
Professor Ranjani Mazumdar says Diwar is still taught as the perfect screenplay because there is nothing extraneous. And this is basically immediately followed by Javed saying that they wrote the story in 18 days. Salim says that they narrated it to Yash Chopra and he sat in silence for 5 minutes. But he also admits that this wasn't truly like an original story. It had largely been done in other films. But it's mm-hmm. all in how you tell the story. It's how you present scenes on screen. And
yeah.
later in this same section, they do show a scene from Diwar, which, even though it was just a few seconds, I was like, I see immediately what he's talking about. Because it was just the way that the camera moved and the way that the
yeah.
the blocking, the characters moved around each other. I was like, I'm getting so much from this movie I know nothing about just from mm-hmm. watching the way that they structured this scene.
Yeah.
Producer and director Nasreen Mooney Kabir says their genius was that they plant seeds throughout the script that flower later, showing continuity for their character's way of thinking. And this immediately made me think of the coin toss in Sholay.
Yeah.
And just the beautiful seeds of that, that it's just like it's used as comedy and then it ends up having mm-hmm. this like huge emotional punch at the end.
Yeah, I mean, that's just good writing. Yeah.
Oh, such good writing. And then they reveal later that they kind of stole that too. But I don't care. It's still
yeah.
great. they
it's
used
fine.
It well. Rithik says essentially that he lived vicariously through the angry young man and used it as a coping mechanism when he was young.
Every time we get more insight into Rithik's brain, I'm just like, you sweet, sensitive soul.
Like, I know. I hope he's in therapy. Like, I hope that
yeah.
a lot of this is coming from, like, work he's done in therapy, you know? Like, I just
I mean, it does seem like his openness and his, like, joy yeah. of talking about that stuff.
Yeah.
It makes it seem like he's done the work, but I'm just like, yeah. God, life must have been, like... It sounds weird to tell, like, a Bollywood insider who looks like that and dances like that, like, wow, life must have been hard for you. But, like, life must have been hard.
He did go through some hard stuff. Like,
yeah.
he did have some real struggle. Like, there's more than one way to struggle in life, and he
yeah.
definitely had some struggles. But again, we get from others these talks of, like, the burning fire and the angry young man reflecting a nation on the cusp of change, and they're ready to take a stand. But then again, this is where we have Javed literally saying that they were innocent to all of this. He says they were breathing the same air and without realizing were in sync with the people. And I get that he wanted to make the point that it was a coincidence that they created a vigilante hero in 1973 and then the country had a state of emergency in 1975. And I understand him not wanting to draw a more direct, you know, right. line there. But it's also like, come on. There was something more there. Like, I mean, I know yeah, it. When, you know it. Just tell me about it, Javed.
when cinema gives, like, a voice to what the common yeah. man is feeling, and you're like, oh my gosh, I'm seeing it up on the big screen. I am justified in my feelings. Like, it is going to create, like, a feedback loop that will have ramifications farther down the line. And I think it's a good thing. Like,
yeah. Well, and this is why I felt so interested in, like, hearing the kind of, like, man on the street perspectives of things, because mm-hmm. it's like, tell me about how, and I realize that you're not going to get back in a time machine and go back to the 70s and talk to people right. reacting to these movies in that moment, but, like, tell me about how it makes you feel now, even if you can't tell me how it made you feel then because you weren't alive or whatever, but, like, anyway, right. yeah. But so then we get into how the emotional core of the movie Diwar was the mother character, and several people say that this was a theme in Salim Javed's films, and it's observed that neither one of them really had a relationship with their mother.
Mm-hmm.
Salim's mother died of TB and couldn't even be in the same room with him in the later years of her life, and he gets emotional imagining what it must have been like for her to not even recognize her own son when she saw him playing outside. And this and a couple other moments, like, Salim really shows himself to be a very empathetic person. Like, he talks a mm-hmm. lot about how, like, it wasn't me I was thinking of in that moment. I was thinking of this other person, and it hit me in this way. Yeah. And I was like, that's really nice. Good for you, Salim.
Yeah.
But then Javed's mother died when he was 8, and he says that he was haunted by her funeral shroud, which is literally, mm-hmm. I'm like, you're such a writer. You just...
I mean, he's a... Yeah. You can tell that guy's a poet.
Yeah. But then he says that these were their share of bruises and blows, and they all came in handy because they wrote many scripts thanks to their force. And then we get to Sholay.
Yeah.
So Ramesh Sippy's son says his dad wanted to make something exceptional and something like the rest of the world was seeing in their industries. Why couldn't they have that in India? Mm-hmm. I was totally assuming that Ramesh Sippy was dead because we were hearing this from his son, and then Ramesh Sippy is like the next face we see on screen.
Yep. So who knows?
But yeah, we talked about a lot of this last week, that the film looked like it might be a flop. Salim Javed took the gutsy risk of writing this article about the movie and making these, like, boisterous claims, and they turned it around and it was a huge success.
Yeah. I love that they did try to recycle that with, was it with Sean or something else? But, like, one of their movies later on that was a flop, they were like, we're gonna put in the papers, though, that it's great, and it, like, didn't work that time.
Yeah, I forgot about that. I think I kind of blocked that out because I was yeah. kind of embarrassed on their behalf, but yeah,
yeah.
That's the kind of lightning you can only trap in a bottle once.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then this is where Honey Irani says the thing about Javed being Gabbar Singh and vice versa. Mm-hmm. But Javed does talk about creating Gabbar Singh's character and says, we all have the desire to do villainy, but morals get in the way. And it's interesting to see a character who is free of those morals.
Yeah.
I wanted him to push that further because... Mm-hmm. That's also why the angry young man is relatable. That's also why people were enjoying seeing the vigilante hero on screen.
Yeah.
Is because, you know, he's got more morals than the villain, but, like, he's not living by the rules, and that's why people are into that. So
yeah.
I was sort of like, tell me more about the gray area between your heroes and your villains, Javed Akhtar, but...
Yeah, you're right. They keep, like, touching on stuff that it's like, ooh, it would have been really great to hear more.
Yeah.
I did, like, I forget who it was, but someone was explaining that, like, when you take children to a zoo.
Oh, yeah, that was Javed. Yeah.
Yeah, that, like, they seek out the leopards and the tigers. And, like, they're like, oh, we can see the birds whenever. Like, that's fine. Yeah. But it is, like, we are just drawn to the more dangerous animals and creatures and people. Like, mm-hmm. it also explains why humanity continues to be obsessed with serial killers and stuff.
Right.
Like, and it's cool to hear them explain how they tapped into that for the creation of this villain, who, fun fact, this I wrote down to talk about later, but apparently Sholay is called, like, the Star Wars of Bollywood because of the impact that it had on Hindi cinema, being akin to the impact that Star Wars had on, like, Hollywood.
Yeah.
But also, apparently, Gabar Singh is compared to Darth Vader.
Hmm.
As far as being, like, the villain that you refer to when you're talking about, like, old cinema. Old,
yeah.
You know what I mean. But
70s cinema.
Yeah.
That is really interesting. Mm-hmm. Well, and I also, like, Gabar Singh is just evil. Like, he's just pure evil. And it bothers me sometimes when we have villains who are just pure evil, which happens a lot in South Asian cinema. It doesn't, like, I talked about this before. Sometimes I actually kind of like it because I like just getting to hate someone and not having there be a gray area. But, like, other times I'm like, no, I want there to be complicated. I want, like, a Minal Murali, like, I actually am kind of rooting for the villain the whole time type movie.
Narratively, it's much more interesting.
Yes. And
for,
like,
them to have an actual motivation other than, I just want the world to burn.
Evil. Yes.
Because I'm evil. Yeah.
But I feel like because Gabar Singh is, like, you can tell, like, I mean, we know that this is, like, a movie that established a bunch of tropes going forward. He works so much better than some of those other villains because you can tell it was new and it was creepy and scary to see this guy who was just pure evil. And so, like, definitely I can see where he would be held up to that standard, the Darth Vader standard.
Yeah.
Because it is, it's like, and then villainy going forward was colored by that level of evil. Yeah.
Right. Which is true. And it's like every villain that has happened in Hollywood since Darth Vader, we're like, oh, like Darth Vader.
Yeah. But so, funny that the Star Wars thing, because the next quote I wrote down was Karan Johar saying that Sholay is the mothership film that we're all still deriving from.
Mm-hmm.
And then the actor Yash says lines from the film are like a common language and they communicate so much more than words themselves. They then play a little bit of the song Mehbooba, which I just, that song, once I hear it, is in my head forever. And I had, like, I had just stopped thinking about the song Mehbooba.
Oh, no,
and then
back.
I watched this, Mehbooba, Mehbooba. It's just like, I can't escape it.
I don't have that problem, but that's amazing.
It just really got in there after, and I was like, when I was going back and rewatching the songs from that movie, I was like, I can't watch that one because it's just going to get stuck in my head again.
Yeah.
So it's back. Salim says that he and Javed were a rare species, two game changers coming out of nowhere. But then one day it was announced they would no longer be working together. And that is where this episode ends.
Mm-hmm.
Spoiler alert, this too is going to be fairly anticlimactic.
Yeah. I think that they're never gonna talk about it.
Yeah. And that's okay. They can make that choice. I have other thoughts about what this documentary could have and maybe should have been, but I'll talk about that as it comes. But so this brings us to episode 3, Kitne Admite, which is how many men were there? And I felt like, because that was the line that I was like, that one I'm going to actually say in Hindi. Okay. We open with more family stuff, and the families talk about being close to one another during Salim Javed's partnership.
Mm-hmm.
Javed says he and Salim weren't really equals and that Salim was more of a brother or even a potential father figure to him.
Yeah.
But several people observe that Salim Javed, like we were saying, they maybe got too cocky. Director Ramesh Talwar says that they didn't maintain diplomacy, which was an interesting way of putting it. And Hani Irani, again telling it like it is, says they were arrogant, and this began to affect their judgment because they were certain they knew exactly what the audiences wanted.
Mm-hmm. But by this point, they're farther removed from
the
audience.
That's what happens. Yes.
Yeah.
After 10 or so huge successes, they had their first flop, Iman Dharma, which Javed says was like a dough they added too much salt to, so it became all salt.
I really like that analogy.
Yeah. It was a very good analogy, yeah. Salim says it's proof that even the best swimmers can still drown. But then after that, they write Dawn, which Javed says was the first caper movie in India.
Yeah.
It had no tropes, no emotion, everything in service of the tempo, which again also kind of reminded me of Doom, the way Adi Chopra talks about Doom. Farhan briefly talks about his remake of Dawn with Shah Rukh and says he mostly wanted to redo the first 15 minutes of the film where Dawn is Dawn. And this is interesting to me because I don't know this for sure because we haven't watched the original Dawn yet, but I'm pretty sure the twist in Farhan Akhtar's Dawn is different from the twist in Dawn. in that it's not there in the original yeah. Dawn. And I also
interesting.
I'm assuming that this is the case just because of the fact that I haven't talked to you about this, but there is a Telugu remake of Dawn, as well as a Tamil remake of Dawn that I haven't seen. But the Telugu remake of Dawn is called Billa, and it does star Prabhas.
Okay, so we are going to have, like, honestly, like, 5 weeks of Dawn watching, and it's going to be fine eventually, yeah. you know, because we're going to yeah. have the Amitabh Dawn, and then the Shah Rukh Dawn, and the Shah Rukh Dawn 2, but then we got to have Prabhas Dawn.
Yeah.
Oh, that's amazing.
We'll find ways to weave it all together expertly, and it'll just be, like, a solid month of Dawn.
Yes.
Yeah.
Great. I'm really excited for that. It cannot come soon enough.
This is also where we get a very brief conversation about female characters in Salim Javed's movies. Javed admits to not really having impactful women in their lives as they were growing up, which means they didn't really know how to write women-centric films, but he mm-hmm. takes pride in the fact that the women in their movies were strong. And professional, too, yeah. was the other thing he said. And I was like, that is cool in the era you were writing for sure. That is remarkable.
Yeah. And I think that that's, like, a really good distinction to make, that they're like, okay, no, the women didn't necessarily have a ton of screen time, but when they were on screen, they kicked butt. Like,
yes, yes.
They're incredible. And to me, I'm like, I agree with Rima Kagti, who's like, it's more important how the women are written than yeah. their amount of screen time.
Yeah. Well, like, and in between those two things, screenwriter Anjum Rajbali offers this counter saying that the women are strong, they have these strong backstories, but then that all becomes secondary to the hero's story, which is yeah. true. But then that's mm-hmm. where then we hear Rima Kagti saying what you just said, the women were plot relevant and they were well-rounded. And mm-hmm. I also think this is how we have seen that Kagti writes her female characters in the male-centric yeah. movies that she has written.
Right.
Where she's able to have women, they might not have a ton of screen time, but you know who they are right away. They're important to the story, and they're respected yeah. in their depiction. Yeah. That's not all we need, but in these no. movies that are male-centric, that would be great.
Yes, yeah. And again, as I think Rima either pointed this out or someone else did, but it's like, we also have to remember that this was especially, like, of yes. the time.
Yes.
This was incredible. Like, you really didn't see that.
Yeah, that was Rima Kagti. Yeah. And
yeah.
similar observations from Hema Malini when we were talking about Sholay last time.
Mm-hmm.
Anupama Chopra observes that even the best artistic visions eventually become formulaic, and this was the case with the movie Shaun, which Salim says everyone compared to Sholay and said it wasn't as good.
Mm.
And then Javed says they didn't really value goodwill. They'd had hit after hit, but no one was at the door. No, as yeah. in no one wanted to work with them. And Salim says they let success go to their head. Again, tell me more. I want to know more. But
yeah,
they don't.
I think that's the thing. It's like, it's just like, oh, you know, we were arrogant. And it's like, well, that can look like a lot of different things. Like, what did it look like specifically in your case?
Yep.
We're all dancing around something. Like,
yes. Yeah.
And what is it?
And I want to know what.
Yeah.
I want the gossip. Yeah. But so they decide to split, and at the time that it happened, Salim and Javed didn't really say why to their families. They don't really say why in this documentary either. Javed only says that the spring of their success was drying up, and Salim says they don't like to talk about it. They only talk about the good times.
Mm-hmm.
Farhan observes how now these two have to create an identity for themselves, and it's almost like they're starting their careers over, which is, again, another spot where I would have liked to know more. And in particular, I know the documentary is about them as a team, but I was yeah. really interested to hear what it looked like to them going into the 80s because of what we learned in The Romantics about the fact that the 80s was another kind of slump for Hindi cinema. So, like,
mm-hmm.
what did that look like for them as writers as they're coming out of yeah. the Salim Javed era and also into this era where, like, everyone's kind of struggling?
Right. We don't know.
Javed says that he thought about packing up and starting a new life over with a new name, And this was also a personally challenging time for him. His marriage with Honey was coming to a close, and he was beginning his marriage with Shabana Azmi. We talk extensively about this situation. Javed and Shabana and the whole family really give a lot of credit to Honey for keeping them all together during this period, and Honey says that she and Javed are best friends.
Mm-hmm.
Salim and his family also talk about him falling in love with Helen Khan on the set of Dawn and marrying her as his second wife. Differently from Javed, he does not divorce his first wife. We're wrapping things up now, and a couple interesting things happen before this ends. So Javed says he believes more people could become writers if they fight through the bad times to the cleared path beyond that struggle. And this was kind of what I referenced before as we were talking about that, like, in his eyes, there is that period of struggle that needs to be gotten through and more people kind of give up partway through it. And I think he meant this as, like, an inspiring thing of, like, if you're struggling, just keep going because you will eventually hit that clear path.
Right.
And Salim says that the best advice he has for writers is to read, which resonates with me as someone who likes to write and feels very inspired by reading.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But then we hear several young writers talk about their frustrations with the industry not getting paid well, being undervalued. Jaideep Sahni, who is an established screenwriter for Yash Raj Films, says that people think artists don't need to be paid well. They should just think about their art. And he says, okay, well, make it so I don't have to think about money. And I was like, yes. Yes.
Yeah. If you want true art, it's like, take away all of those fears, and then you'll see it.
Yeah. Other screenwriters talk about the value of the writer and storytelling. Dibakar Banerjee says many good writers have been lost to mediocre direction. Also, I think, a very important point. And then we have sweet, sweet Hrithik again, who says writing needs to become aspirational. We need superstar writers to make children want to be writers. And I understand what he was trying to say in this moment.
Yeah.
But there's no shortage of writers wanting to be superstar writers. And there's, I would imagine, no shortage of young people wanting to be writers, but being told that they, you know, shouldn't quit their day job or that it's not possible for them to do it. I'm just like, I think you're being a little too quick to point a finger at a, like, a lack of desire to become something when, in truth, this is hinging on, on the industry, the industry, and there's bigger issues here, and they're interwoven issues, and certainly there are people who are getting paid to write badly, which is a problem, but there's also people who aren't getting paid to write well, is also a problem.
It's like, you need to actually incentivize those writers.
Yeah. But so we wrap up with Salim saying he's content with his life and there's nothing he would redo. And we see the two men meet and embrace and laugh together in a photo shoot, which was very powerful. I was sort of like, are we going to see the two of them on screen together? Are we just going to say, we don't remember the bad times, but we don't talk anymore? Is that where we're going with this? But it was, so it was nice to see them together and looking happy to be together.
I do have a note on that, though.
Oh, boy. What's that?
So I have just kind of a bunch of random fun facts. One of them, and this is from Wikipedia, okay? So take it with a grain of salt. But Javed and Salim were not even on talking terms after their split, which happened, what, in like 1982? Until 2012.
Wow, okay.
When their original script, Zanjeer, was being remade into a 2013 film, also called Zanjeer, by producer Sumit Mehra. Salim and Javed filed a suit in the Mumbai High Court in July 2013, claiming they had copyrights over the script, the story, and the dialogues of the original film. So they demanded compensation from the makers of the 2013 remake, and this is what brought them back together after 30 years.
Suing someone.
Suing someone, yeah.
That's
so
bleak.
That's fun. That's a little note about that, that maybe
it's
taken some work for them to get back to this point.
Yeah, which doesn't surprise me, but then it also, like, well, why would I think anything else when they didn't tell us anything about what happened? And here was one of the thoughts that I was kind of left with about this is, like, why did we make this documentary if it's not really saying anything new about these films? That was, like, one kind of, like, I did a quick Google. I was reading some things people said on Reddit and stuff, and it does seem to be a lot of people, saying, like, this was good. There was nothing new here.
Mm-hmm.
it's saying something about these men's experiences, but again, stuff that probably isn't super new to the audience who's watching it. And so if it's just for people who don't know the backstory and who don't know about this era of filmmaking, like if it's for people like us who are curious about it, but who maybe don't have that full context that just seems like it's sort of known in people who have any knowledge about the industry, then why not give us more of the context of the moment in time when it was happening? So it's like, either we needed more of the like insider stuff to make it interesting in that regard, but it wasn't. Or if it's introducing this concept to people who aren't as familiar to it, then why not dive into the 1975 state of emergency? Because I still don't really know much about what was going on there. Like,
right?
This could have been a documentary that was like, let's talk about these guys who are writing during this like historically through the political tumultuous time.
Yeah, we can look at it through like a political lens for at least part of it.
Yeah, and it was unclear in what it was trying to do, and in that way didn't really accomplish a whole lot. And again, I enjoyed it. I learned a lot of stuff. I clearly wrote a lot of stuff down that was interesting to me, but like could have been different, could have been more interesting.
But you're right, and it's stuff that it's like we didn't know because we are outsiders to like the world of Hindi language cinema. Yeah, that's the right way of looking at it.
Tell me more of your fun facts.
Okay, really quick. I had thought about looking up more about the like emergency, but then I was like, well, but there was a movie that came out that if we wanted to tackle at some point, it feels we'll leave that.
So we may have other opportunities. Yeah.
Yes. So really quick, just about the documentary, like Zoya Akhtar was the one to propose the making of this docuseries.
Okay.
And she said, I think it was interesting to have a female gaze, meaning, you know, a female gaze of the director.
Sure.
On these very male artists and the character they created, the angry young man, who was also extremely male, and to figure out what led to this anger and what were these wounds that led to this character coming to the screen. Which is an interesting, I'm like, yes, I admire that being your intention, but I don't think we got those answers. And I also, aside from like the 5-minute discussion of like the women roles that they wrote, it also wasn't a very feminist look at it, which is fine.
No.
But let's not call it that.
Then, right. I agree. It's like, it's interesting that she is putting out there that that was the idea, that was the goal, when I don't feel like this achieved that.
Yeah. So that was one of those things where I was like, as I was reading it, I was like, yeah. And then rereading it, I was like, oh, well, wait a second.
Yeah.
But then I just wrote a few notes about the legacy of Salim Javed. And as mentioned in the documentary, they are responsible for creating the masala film, named after the mixture of spices. Like the spice blend, masala films blend action, comedy, romance, and drama with a focus on portraying strong emotions. They're like, they want to see every emotion on the spectrum. And family also plays an integral part of a masala film. But also, Salim Javed's work was highly influential in South Indian cinema as well. Like, you already mentioned that Dawn was remade. But while Bollywood directors and producers held the rights to the films that they wrote in northern India, Salim Javed held the rights to their films in South India. And I'm like, I don't know who made that rule or why.
Yeah.
But it meant that Salim Javed could sell remake rights to various South Indian filmmakers, usually for around 1 lakh each. So, you know, that's not nothing.
Yeah, no, that's awesome.
And their work played an important role in launching the career of South Indian superstar Rajnikant, who starred as the Amitabh Bachchan role in multiple Tamil remakes of Salim Javed films. So, yeah, he apparently, similarly to Amitabh, wouldn't necessarily have gone on to have the career he had if he hadn't had this jumping off point based in their writing.
That's very cool.
Mm-hmm.
I am pretty sure Rajnikant is Talaiwa. Remember that song at the end of Chennai Express over the credits?
Yes. They,
yeah, it definitely is, because the line is like, all the Rajini fans come and do the dance.
Oh, that's fun. When are we going to watch Chennai Express?
I don't know that I necessarily want to. But we'll see. We'll see if the time comes.
That's fair. Also, the screenwriter V. Vijayendra Prasad, who wrote Bahubali, cited Salim Javed as a major inspiration for his work.
Ah.
So there you go.
Two angry young men across generations.
Yes. And finally, the work of Salim Javed has also inspired writers outside of India. So Diwar had an influence on Hong Kong cinema, leading to the creation of the heroic bloodshed crime genre of 1980s Hong Kong action cinema.
Heroic bloodshed crime doesn't have quite the same ring as Angry Young Man, but it does, you know, I can see it's like rooted in a similar vibe.
Yeah, I think I'd be into it. So the 1979 Hong Kong remake of Diwar is called The Brothers, and that ended up inspiring John Woo's 1986 film, A Better Tomorrow, which ultimately served as inspiration for Quentin Tarantino in Hollywood.
Wow.
So, say what you will about Tarantino, but we could say that inadvertently, he was inspired by Salim Javed, which is, I think, very interesting and fun.
That is interesting.
So
very cool. Well, I love hearing more about just the pervasiveness of this writing duo. And honestly, would have loved to, I think some of those fun facts would have been a great addition to this documentary, because I think, like, clearly seeing the full scope of their impact is, like, I feel like we just barely scratched the surface, really, of what they did. I realize that some of the stuff that we're talking about, it's, like, hard to show and not tell, but I do feel like this documentary was a lot of telling and not showing. Like, it was a lot of people saying, like, yes, it was so impactful. Believe me, it was so impactful. It's here. It's really, like, super present. And it's, like, why not show? If we're talking about Cholet being the root of all of these tropes, why not show references from other movies?
Right.
You know, and I realized maybe it would be hard to get the rights to something like that, but, like, you could just talk about those references, even if you can't, like, actually show that. Like, give me examples.
Also, here's my thing about that. Like, you have a lot of big names in the industry partaking in this documentary.
Yeah.
At least a handful of those people have the rights to some examples that I would could use.
I would have to imagine that that's true.
Yeah. But no, I'm glad we watched it. I do think we got more context. Like, is it as great as it could have been? No.
But it was still interesting, and we did learn a lot.
Yes, exactly. Bollywood stuff.
So I don't have any Bollywood stuff to share. I know there's stuff happening. I'm just not paying attention.
Girl, that's me all the time. I know there's stuff happening. I'm just not paying attention.
One thing, this will become related, I promise, but there is one Indian-American man in particular who I am very much paying attention to right now, and that's Zohran Mamdani, who, do you know who that is? He's running for mayor of New York City.
Okay, not an athlete. Well, maybe, but great.
So Zohran Mamdani is running for mayor of New York City. He's super socialist. He's awesome. I have been, like, I don't live in New York City. Like, he has nothing to do with me as a person, but I just really enjoy his whole political energy that he's bringing to the world. And I follow him on Instagram, and he posted a campaign video recently where he was talking about ranked choice voting and how ranked choice voting works in New York City. He did the video in Hindi.
Oh, I love that.
And the background score was Om Shanti Om.
Oh my God. Okay,
so it was literally him just like bopping around, like speaking in Hindi about, and then it's just like, and Raj Kumar Rao liked this video. And I was like, I hope that this means as much to you, Zohran Mamdani, as it does to me.
Yeah.
But so again, this is the kind of thing that gives me hope for our future. I hope one day I can vote for him for a larger political office that does directly impact me in Vermont.
Oh, no, I'm so into that. That is so fun.
Yeah, you should find him and follow him on Instagram. He is a delight. And he also has amazing, he's got great political ideas. He's like, all about like giving New York back to the people who...
He's not like, just a delight. He's also like a good guy.
Yes. Yes. He's good. We're into that. Yeah.
Yes. Cool. Thank you. I love that. So pluggables.
Yes.
Follow us at Two White Girls Talk Bollywood on Instagram. Hasn't been updated lately, but it will be soon.
We'd like to leave you in suspense.
Yeah. And it's like, how soon is soon? Well, you'll find out.
Just keep checking, guessing. And eventually there'll be new stuff there.
Exactly. You can also subscribe to us on whatever podcast platform you listen to us on. You could even leave a review. But no matter what you do or do not do, thank you so much for listening.
Yeah. Leave us a 5-star review and recommend your favorite movie and we'll watch it.
That is true. Like, hey, we're kind of flying by this. Well, I won't say that.
No, remember, this is all very well thought out and planned.
It is.
It's definitely, yes, not like we pick up movies 1 week in advance.
No, that'd be crazy.
We used to have movies planned out like 5 or 6 months in advance, yeah, which was crazy. And now,
because then we like to allow for inspiration to strike.
Yes, exactly. We don't like how locked in we were in that movie.
Yeah.
Anyway, YouTube, Spotify, Bollywood Bangers playlists, hang out with us there too. And you can find those linked in our episode descriptions as well as in our Instagram posts. Again, when they happen, you know, just let the mystery take you away. Yeah.
Or just like click on the most recent one. The link is there.
Yeah. And yep, absolutely.
Great. So next film.
Yeah.
We're continuing our journey into learning about the angry young man.
Indeed we are.
Yes. And we are watching Duar.
Yes. It's going to be great to watch this now. We've seen Sholay. We've seen the other 1975, like, big Salim Javed movie. This one is, like we were saying, we didn't know, does Sholay really totally fall into the angry young man genre? But this is, this is.
Does,
angry,
yes.
Angry young, like, we know it is. So this is, like, this is big, and I'm excited.
Yeah.
The plot description on IMDb is, Vijay struggles as a dock worker and eventually becomes a leading figure of the underworld, while his younger brother, Ravi, is an educated, upright policeman. This divide causes problems in their relationship.
Oh.
I'm intrigued.
Yeah, and Duar is available on Z5, or if it's available somewhere else for you, great. That's how we're going to watch it. And the synopsis is, I'm going to leave it with what Kim said, because there's been some confusing stuff where the 2004 sequel gets mixed up, and yeah.
The plot description from IMDb is the one we're going with.
Exactly.
It seemed pretty thorough, so I think we're in good shape.
Yes. And who knows, maybe then we will want to watch the sequel.
Maybe.
I think the dog just growled at that, so maybe not.
Is the one from 2004 actually a sequel?
I mean, I think so.
Weird.
Unless it's not related, but it also stars Amitabh.
I mean, it could just be another movie with the same name, but it doesn't matter.
That is true. Who knows? Yeah. Whatever. I'm excited to watch it and continue our exploration of the angry young man.
Indeed, yes.
Yes. So, watch it. And until next time, remember, Bollywood doesn't need us.
Mm-mm.
But we need Bollywood.
And sometimes we do all need a little bit of anger.
Yeah, just a little bit. Like, righteous anger.
Anger is an emotion, and just like all emotions, it's okay to feel them. It's okay to
that
feel
is
it.
So true.
Yes, it's what you do with the feelings that matters.
Yes. Wow, that's profound. Thanks, Kim. That's,
You're welcome.